Alrighty, Haxamea. And wow, here we are. How quick 7 weeks can go by. I have a message today for giving meat in due season called Shavuot in the Latter Rain. Shavuot in the Latter Rain. And I've said this many times over the last 7 years that I believe Yahweh started pouring out His Spirit at Shavuot in 2015, exactly 7 years ago. And that was right before the last Shemitah started, and here we are with the Shemitah starting again in a few months. But I believe this time that His Spirit is going to continue to grow even more intense. And I know over the last at least year, probably year and a half, I get reports all the time from elders, from brethren, of miracles happening, and healings happening, and people that couldn't get pregnant getting pregnant, all kinds of things that have been going on over at least the last year and a half, and especially more people having dreams and visions, which is happening. I explained the one thing that happened to me just, you know, a little over a week ago. But one thing that I'm finding also interesting is, at the school we just finished, I did 12 baptisms, 12 being the number of complete government, and all the people that were baptized immediately felt something, which, to be honest, normally doesn't happen. Very rarely have I seen when people are baptized, and I've baptized thousands of people and thousands of people, do I see manifestation of the Spirit right away? And this time, we actually did, and people testifying to that. And I'm hoping that I'm going to get these testimonies that I could share pretty soon with you. And how they felt the rock immediately working in their life. So I believe we're in a new time. I believe we're living now in Shavuot. For 2,000 years, we've basically lived in Pesach. You know, we've been living in the time of Pesach and the grace and forgiveness through the blood of Yeshua, and now we're living in the time of the second Shavuot, and then when Yeshua returns, of course, we're going to be living in the time of Sukkot, which pictures the millennium that He's coming. So I want to read, starting in Acts 2, from the first Shavuot. I'm going to read verse 1 through 20. In the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot, they were all with one mind in the same place. So this is being fulfilled in the early rain, right? This is the early rain. We're living now in the latter rain. That was the early rain. And they were all with one mind in the same place. So I believe that what we've experienced in the last 7 years in the growth in the congregation could have never happened if we didn't start living in community. And we didn't start living in community because of COVID or anything else. We started living in community because Yahweh was showing us the signs that we were getting close to Yeshua's return and the times that we're living in. And people willingly went, gave up everything to live in communities. We started with one or two communities 7 years ago, and now we have 25 going on 30 communities, and every congregation wants to live in communities. And it doesn't mean they're not without struggles, but they're working, and people are growing, and people are getting more of the rock, and it's working, and that's what's happening, like it says here. They're with one mind in the same place. And suddenly a sound came out of the heaven as a groaning spirit along with a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues as a fire appeared to them, being distributed, and it sat on each one of them. And they were all filled of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave ability to them to speak. And Jews were living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation of those under heaven. And when that sound occurred, all the people gathered and were perplexed, because they were hearing each man among them who were speaking in their own language. And all were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, we can't grasp this. Are not all these those speaking Galileans? And how did we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" Okay, so we have two gifts of languages. One is where you could speak another language automatically. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you if there's somebody there that doesn't speak your language. And this way is they're speaking in their language, with a, you know, Aramaic, maybe, with a Galilean accent. And yet everybody is hearing in their own language. And then it talks about all the places that they're from. Very interesting. Most of these places are where the Israelites were in diaspora, right? So we're seeing here the gathering of the tribes of Israel connected with the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. And verse 12, and all were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, what could this be? They've never seen anything like this before. But ridiculing, others said, they are full of sweet wine. So, you know, it's interesting. It's the same today. I've been a believer for close to 40 years, and I've been an elder for more than 25 years, 27 years, now 20, going on 28. This is our 25th year of ministry out of Israel, you know, that started. So praise Yahweh for that. But I can say that through my years, and particularly in the last 7 years, I really see where some people get it and some people don't. It's one of the big lessons I learned at one of the schools. So here it is. I mean, a miracle is happening. These people are actually speaking, and people are hearing it in their own language, which I've had happen to me before when I was in Kenya, that I was speaking in English and somebody heard in their own language. But as this miracle is actually happening, and the Holy Spirit is being poured out for the first time, some people that are there, that are brethren, are ridiculing and say they're full of sweet wine. So we see the same today with people. Some people are getting it and some people aren't. Some people are, you know, even though they see the miracles that Yahweh is doing, and literal miracles that are happening, there are still people there that are basically saying, you know, oh, they're full of sweet wine. Oh, this isn't true. Oh, maybe it's they're lying, or maybe it's exaggerated, or maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And you know what? Maybe it's just you. Maybe it's that some simply are not surrendering to Yahweh. And if we're living in this time now, because now it's 7 years. When it first started 7 years ago, I wondered, am I the only one that this is happening to? Am I the only one feeling the Holy Spirit in this way? And yet I've had now thousands of testimonies over the last 7 years from our elders, from our brethren. Almost every week I get updates from our congregations of another healing, another miracle, another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And for people that are out there that aren't experiencing this, you really have to wonder to yourself, you know, are you surrendering to Yahweh? But standing up with the 11, Peter lifted his voice and spoke out to them, men, Jews, and all those living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words, for these are not drunk, as you imagine, for it is the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, it wasn't even just that they didn't understand it. They're actually falsely accusing these people of being drunk. But this is that which has been spoken by the prophet Yoel. In the last days, Yahweh says, I will pull out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The same thing we're seeing today. And I will pour out my spirit on my servants and handmaids on those days, and they will prophesy. And I will give wonders in the heavens above and miraculous signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon into blood. Exactly what I just saw last week. And not in a dream and not in a vision. I saw it right out the window as big as can be. And the amazing part was not only was it so low, I mean, basically just above the trees outside the window, but it was so gigantic, bigger than I've ever seen the moon. And the other thing was, it wasn't full moon, and yet the moon was full. It wasn't the time of full moon, and the moon was full. And the next night, the moon went back to normal. So it was a miracle that Yahweh performed, and it wasn't something that was just there for a minute or two. It was at least a half an hour. I was just stunned looking at the moon like that. And he says, like he says here, the sun will be changed into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and great and glorious day of Yahweh. And we've been seeing it for 7, 8 years. We've been seeing all the signs, the 2017 Revelation 12 sign. I mean, sign after sign after sign that Yahweh has shown us the times we're living in. And now, wow, now between COVID and lockdowns and QRs and the mark of the beast being, you know, basically the system being set up to enable it whenever – Yahweh will allow it, boy, if we don't see it now, then we're really in trouble. And that's why I have to say again, if you're not seeing the Holy Spirit in your life, if you're not feeling it more powerful than you ever did before, then you really have to look inside yourself and you have to question why. You have to question, is your commitment to Yahweh as great as it should be? Are you reading your Bible every day, studying every day? And are you praying and asking Yahweh be pouring out His Spirit in your life? So this was a shadow of for today. So this wasn't even actually the real fulfillment of this, but this was a shadow for this. So let's go to Yoel, book of Yoel, verse 23, chapter 2. And it says, "Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim. For he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness," right? That's what we just saw. We just read in Acts 2. That was the early rain. "And he will cause the rain to come down on you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month." So the latter rain is what we're living in now. And this is when the latter rain is poured out in the end time. "And the floors will be full with grain and with wine, vats shall overflow with wine and oil." So we talked about the Sukkot, the grain, the oil, and the wine. And this is interesting as we're going now into the Shemitah. And Yahweh says this year and the sixth year, He will bless us for 3 years if we just take Him serious and we take the Shemitah serious. And the grain shows the bread of life, the oil shows the Holy Spirit, and the wine shows the fulfillment, the happiness, the completement of Yahweh's blessing being on you. And he says, "I will restore to you the years which the swarming locusts have eaten, the locust larva and the stripping locust and the cutting locust, my great army which I sent out," right? What does he mean he will destroy it? He will restore to you these things. It gets back to like in the Garden of Eden. I've said it many times. You know, Yahweh uses analogies of a garden to teach us something. But the Garden of Eden is not about tomatoes and it's not about cucumbers. The Garden of Eden is about bearing fruit for Yahweh's kingdom. And when we read the parable of the sower and the seed, it parallels creation in the Garden of Eden. Exactly. I mean, you look at what Yeshua is saying, and you look at what Yeshua said to Adam in the garden, and it's basically the same exact thing. So here, when Yahweh is saying about restoring these things, he's talking about spiritually. He's talking about all the things the church has been missing by not having the fullness of the Ruach are going to be restored in these times. And that's why we're seeing miracles. That's why we're seeing healings. That's why we're seeing demons being cast out. You know, and a number of testimonies that I got from the congregations of people being mad from demons and being cast out of them and then being in their right mind from that point. So we're seeing all this. And he says, "And you shall eat fully and be satisfied, and you will praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall not be ashamed forever." So you will... "You shall eat fully and be satisfied." And here we are, right? We're going into a Shemitah year where people say, "What will we eat?" You know? "What will we eat? The Shemitah is coming." But Yahweh's saying, this is not about food. This is about your spiritual life, right? And I urge, I know everybody can't do it, but if you can, and they did this, this is why so many people came to see Yeshua in the first century, because it was a Shemitah year when he started his ministry. And if you could not work a physical job this year, it would be great, because this is the year that Yahweh will be pouring His Spirit out on His people, I believe more than ever, because it's the Shemitah year. Or at least limit your time at work and be focusing more time on the Holy Spirit so you can eat and be satisfied. But what did Yeshua say? You know, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of Yahweh. And His food is to do the will of the Father in heaven. So this is what we should be focusing on, the Shemitah. Not physical food, but spiritual food. And He says, you're going to praise the name of Yahweh who is still wondrously with you, and my people shall not be ashamed forever. And he's basically saying this, "And you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh your Elohim, and there is no other, and my people shall not be ashamed forever. And it will be afterwards," just like we just read in Acts 2, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And I will pour out my spirit on the slaves and on the slave girls in those days, and I will give signs in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke." Could this be nuclear war that's also coming in the days ahead? "But the sun will be turned to darkness," talking again about eclipses, "and the moon to blood," exactly what I saw last week, "the moon to blood before the coming and great and awesome day of Yahweh, which is not that far off. Because once Yahweh calls all the people, once he's doing the full work, once he is, the good news has gone throughout the world, and most of the world, unfortunately, will reject it. That's when Yahweh will seal his people, and that's when his wrath will come on the earth, because that's where Satan will set up his global government, which he's doing now, the Great Reset, which they call it, and that's when his wrath will come. He says, "For it shall be all who call on the name of Yahweh will be saved." Praise Yahweh for that, that he's revealed his name in these last days. "For salvation shall be where? In Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh shall call." So what happens? Yeshua comes back. Where does he come? Isaiah 63 in Basra. Where is Basra? Just south of Selah, the mountain where Yahweh says in Song of Solomon, he's going to hide his bride there. It's 144,000. And then what happens? Yeshua comes and saves the bride. And then they go across the eagle's wings going where on the bottom of the Dead Sea, right above where the place was where we were staying. And they will come over to Mount Zion. And that's where the 144,000, we see it in Revelation 14. I'm not going to go there. But that's when they're with Yeshua on Mount Zion. And that's the final stop. So I always say it, that you cannot get to the kingdom without going through the wilderness. And that's why we need to be in the wilderness now. This is the time to go to the wilderness. But then we don't want to forget that the final stop is Mount Zion. That's where Yahweh is calling us to. So he talks about here the early rain, which we saw in Acts 2, and here the latter rain, as we see in the book of Yoel. So what am I talking about? You have to understand the growing cycle in Israel to understand this. And amazingly, that a few years back, they found in Gezer, which is was a settlement not too far from Tel Aviv Airport over there, but they found in Gezer a stone. And the Gezer stone was basically the calendar from the time of King Solomon. So this is the calendar that Israel used and the growing season. And basically, interesting enough, when does that calendar start? It starts October, November. It starts October, November. Why? Because Sukkot is the height of the season. Sukkot is the time when they're coming with all of the fruits and the vegetables and the grain, and they're coming before Yahweh to Jerusalem, and they're praising Yahweh, and they're giving him all honor and praise for giving them all of the harvest fruits of the year. And now October, November is the beginning of the new planting. That's when the people plant, right? So you have to have your ground, make sure you have fallow ground. You have to prepare your ground after Sukkot. And then you'll do your planting late October, beginning of November, depending on the year. And then you have to pray for the early rain. Because you know what? It's still not rain in Israel at that time. So you have to pray that in late October or November or early December that you're going to get that early rain. Because if not, what's going to happen? Those seeds are going to be blown away, they're going to be eaten by birds, they're not going to germinate, right? So then you're going to have in late December, January, February, what happens? You get the rain, you know, every year except for maybe when Eliyahu was there and you're having years of drought. But you always, most of the time, will get rain late December, January, February. So that's the time of where the rain is coming and the grain is growing to a certain degree. But then what happens? Then the rainy season ends. And by the time March comes, sometimes you can have no rain at all. Even in February sometimes, late February, there might be no rain whatsoever. March, no rain. April, no rain. Because again, in Israel, it's a semi-arid climate, semi-desert. And you go about 8 months of the year with no rain whatsoever. So if you don't get that latter rain, and late March and early April, what's going to happen? The grain will never come to fruition. And that's why this is a parallel for us as the people of Yahweh and His Spirit and what's happening. If we don't pray to Yahweh now, if we don't get that latter rain, we as a people, we as the congregation of Yahweh, we as the bride of Messiah, we will never come to fruition. We will be like a plant that just is like almost like a tear, as we're going to see later. You know, that we need to be praying, we need to be asking for that latter rain, and we need to be utilizing it in our life if we want it to happen. Because it doesn't just happen. It's not something that's just going to happen. It's something that you have to prepare for, and you have to train for. And praise Yahweh, we had such a great program in Israel recently, two programs that we had there. And people really came wanting to learn, wanting to grow. And I think it was two of the best programs that we have done. And it was really great seeing that, because it's not just going to happen to you. You have to prepare in your life, and you have to be fighting against yourself and fighting against Satan, and you have to be studying every day, and you have to be praying every day, and you have to be fasting and meditating and be asking Yahweh for the latter rain for you to come to maturity as a believer. So the first Shavuot was the early rain of the Ruach HaKodesh for it to take root. Now is the latter rain to bring the body of Messiah to completion, to fruition. If we go to Galatians 5 and verse 22, Galatians 5 and verse 22, what is the fruit that comes from this latter rain? But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such things there is no instruction, right? So you could have as much as that as you can. You have to grow in that. There's no instruction against having too much of it. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and its lust. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. And if you're not seeing the Ruach of Yahweh in your life, then the first thing you have to look at is, are you surrendering to His Spirit? Because if you're not surrendering to His Spirit, you're not going to see it in your life. And it's just going to be words on paper. And unfortunately, you can only quench the Spirit of Yahweh so long before there's just nothing left there anymore. And then it's you literally become a reprobate. So these are serious times we're living in. And these are times that we have to really realize that we have to be producing fruit in our life if we expect the gifts of Yahweh's Spirit. Because like I say at the Bible school, when we're teaching about spiritual gifts, the gifts are an extension of the fruit. If you do not have these nine fruits in your life, you're not going to have any gifts of Yahweh's Spirit. So the gifts are the extension of the fruit, and we have to surrender to the Spirit daily and be putting on the mind of Messiah. Corinthians 10, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. He says, for though we do live in earthly life, yet we do not serve worldly things, right? Although we do live in earthly life, we do not serve worldly things. And this is what I've been saying for years now. You know, getting off the internet, getting off social media, not being involved with all of these gadgets and all these things that Satan has put out there, Facebook and all this other stuff. So we want to make sure that we're serving Yahweh, we're not serving worldly things. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but of the power of Yahweh to the demolition of strongholds. I did a whole sermon on this a few years back of how to demolish strongholds that Satan may have in your life. Please, if you haven't heard it, listen to that message, because it's important. Casting down imaginations and every false thing lifting up itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. Bringing into captivity every thought. Wow. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. So what are your thoughts throughout the day? And if a thought is not on Yahweh, on His kingdom, on something that's good, on serving, on the fruits of the Spirit, if it's on the fruits of the flesh, and if it's on jealousy and anger and false accusations and all these other things, you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it out of your life, because you want to make sure you're bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Messiah. And this is something, again, that doesn't just happen. It can happen through Yahweh's Spirit, but you have to make sure that it's happening by taking control of your life, by having self-control in your life. And making sure that the words that are coming out of our mouth, the words of love, the words of kindness, the words of edification, you know. And we want to make sure that everything we're doing to the glory of Yahweh. So if we want the rock to fill us, we must surrender every thought to the obedience of Yeshua. And you just can't do that in the world, especially the way the world is today. And this is why you have to go to the wilderness. This is why you have to go to an environment that is conducive to where Yahweh can work with you. And, you know, it's interesting, because when I look at the Bible school we just finished, you know, we had, you know, about a month and a half or so that we all together, what we were doing with everything. And in one way, it's a long time. You know, another way, it's not that long of a time. But the way that Yahweh was able to work so strong in people in such a short time, you know, was the fact that the environment there was conducive. You know, we were basically out in the wilderness. We're out in no man's land. There's nothing there. There's no stores. There's no, unfortunately, there was internet. That was the one thing I wish we didn't have, because we really didn't need it. But it was you have to have a wilderness environment if you're going to grow in the Yahweh spirit. The world is just, Satan has taken over. He's the prince of the power of the airwaves. He's everywhere. He's getting people's minds. You look at now in the USA, all these shootings going on. They're not just happening. They're happening because people, not only these kids being put on drugs, but through the internet and the social media and the video games and all the other things that are being indoctrinated into these kids' minds. And they're being indoctrinated to death, not life. And we need to get our indoctrination into life, not death, the opposite. So we want to limit or get rid of smartphones, internet. Every time you search something on Google, it's being manipulated for you to receive false information. If you didn't see that with COVID, you're never going to see it, because that's what they did. They even stopped with COVID, where you couldn't even remember the thing was giving your opinion to every article, which I always wondered, there's millions of articles being written a day. Where do people find the time to do that? But they stopped it with COVID. You couldn't do it anymore because they didn't want your opinion. They didn't want the truth. Because when you search Google, the way that they have their algorithms in that search engine is for them to give you the answer they want you to have, not the truth. And that's why, praise Yahweh, we have the truth. I pray you have the truth. I know I have the truth. And if you want to keep the truth, then wow, you better stay off of those things, because you're not going to get the truth through Facebook and YouTube and Google and these other types of forms like that. So you have to limit it. You have to limit it or get rid of it completely. Like I said, every time you search something, they're putting up, giving you the false information. They want you to have the lies of Satan. They want the truth hidden, but we should be so grateful that we have the truth through Yahweh's rock. And again, our mind has to be on Scripture and serving Yahweh and His kingdom. And if your mind is on that, then, you know, it's going to be different. So John 15, and we have to realize this, we're not of the world. You have to come out of the world. This is the time to do it if you want to be part of the second outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit. And like I said, since it's happening not just to one or two people, but it's happening to brethren worldwide, if you're not feeling it, I pray you take this sermon to heart, and I pray you pray about it when it's over and really ask Yahweh why you might not be receiving that and how you can receive it. So John 15, and what does it say? Verse 18 and 19. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you, Yeshua is speaking. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. And that's the reason why we don't fit in. That's the reason why people can't stand us, because we're not vaccinated, because we're Sabbath keepers, because we use the name Yahweh and whatever else of Yahweh. And people aren't going to love you unless you're part of the world. So if you're totally loved by the world, then you know what that means? That means you're too worldly. Because the world loves its own, but they hate the people of Yahweh. John 14 and verse 15. John verse 14 and verse 15. So how do you get to be part of the Spirit of Yahweh? How do you get to receive the Spirit of Yahweh in greater ways? John 14 and verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The first thing, you have to be obedient. You have to be obedient to Yahweh and His word in all things. And then He says, and I will petition the Father, and He will give you another one that will end the curse of Adam, right? The curse of treason, the curse of rebellion, that He may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see it nor know it. But you know it, for it dwells with you and shall be in you, right? So this is the Spirit of truth. But just like a seed, if you put a seed on the ground and you do nothing with it and you don't water it and nurture it and get the weeds away from it and fertilize it, that seed is just going to sit there and do nothing. If you want to get fruit from that, You have to nurture it every single day. You have to water it every single day. You have to make sure that it gets enough sunlight, but not too much sunlight. You got to make sure that it gets water, but not too much water. You got to make sure that if the weeds come up, that you get rid of the weeds, and you have to make sure you fertilize and you care for that. And it's the same way. You know, we have to be totally obedient to Yahweh for Him to pour His Spirit, and we have to make sure we nurture that Spirit every day of our life. So, Jeremiah 7 and verse 25, because in this world today, brethren, there is no truth in Satan's system. And Satan's global order is already set up, and it's only a matter of short time before he's able to bring his mark on all humanity for 42 months, and then Yahweh's kingdom comes. But once that happens, then Yahweh's wrath is going to come on people. Jeremiah 7 and verse 25. Jeremiah 7 and verse 25. He says, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending. And we have it. What do you find out about the day of Yahweh? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you know, Hosea, Joel, Amos, all the prophets. That's what we find out about this day. And he says, I've sent it every day to you. Yet they did not listen nor to me, nor bow their ear, but they stiffened their neck. They did more evil than their fathers. And you will speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. And you will call on them, but they will not answer you. That's the world we're living in today. But you shall say to them, this is the nation that does not obey the voice of Yahweh their Elohim, nor receive instruction. Truth has perished, and it is cut off from their mouth. Cut off your crown and throw it away, and lift up a dirge on the height. For Yahweh has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. Wow. And, you know, unfortunately, sadly enough, that starts in Israel. The nation of Israel has rejected Yahweh as a whole. It doesn't mean there's not people there that or believers and messianic believers, but for the most part, the nation has rejected Yahweh totally. And it's one of the most secular nations in the world. But the whole generation we live in, going to Babylon where it all started from and where this comes from, going all over the world. So this is where Yahweh's wrath is coming. Why? Because there is no truth in Satan's generation and Satan's society. So Yahweh's wrath is shortly to come. Jacob 5, Jacob the 5th chapter. And that's why we have to leave that society. We're not going to change that society. We're not going to protest and march with signs and try to change the society. We're looking for a new society. What we should be preparing is not wasting our time marching and doing these other things, but we should be educating ourselves and preparing ourselves for the job we're going to have in the kingdom of Yahweh. Yahweh has called us to be his kings and his priests. He's called us to be his ambassadors. And again, that just don't happen. You have to be trained for that job, and you need to be training yourself now, or you're not going to be there. You know, we look at all the parables, you know, Matthew 22 and Matthew 23, Matthew 21 and 22, where Yeshua is talking about the wedding supper being ready, but the people didn't prepare. And if we don't prepare ourselves for the position that Yahweh set us, we're going to be in trouble. So, Jacob, the 5th chapter. This is what he says about the end time, where we're living in now. He says, come, rich ones, weep, howl over your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and the rust of them will be a testimony against you. And it will eat your flesh. The treasures that you have heaped together shall be as fire for you for when the latter days. So all of these people of the earth that have trusted in money, in stock market, in gold, in silver, it's all coming to an end, and we see it. We've already seen the beginning of it. We see that very soon we're going to go through the worst economic crisis the world has ever known, and Babylon's going to fall, and they're going to bring a new system in that's not with paper money, but it's going to be electronic system, and that's where the mark of the beast will be set up and all these other things. He says, behold, the wages of the workmen who have reaped your fields cry out, being kept back by you, and the cries of the ones who have reaped have entered into the ears of Yahweh of Sabaoth, Yahweh of hosts. So what is this? This is all these millions of workers around the world that are working for $1, $2, and $3 a day as Western society becomes rich and becomes millionaires and billionaires. And this is what Yahweh is saying. It's all getting ready to come to an end. He says, you live luxuriously on the earth and live for self-pleasure. You nourished your bodies for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous, and yet he does not resist you. Therefore, brothers, be patient until the coming of Yahweh. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it may receive the early and the latter rain. So, wow, you got to be patient for the early rain, because if the early rain don't come, you don't have any crop. But you really got to be patient for the latter rain, because after going through all the hard work of planting and of fallowing the ground and setting it up and plowing and then waiting and doing all of the weeding and fertilizing and getting everything ready, and now if the latter rain comes and there is no latter rain, all of that could be for nothing. So you have to be patient until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient, right? Because this is only an analogy to our spiritual life. Set your hearts firmly because the coming of our Master has drawn near. So Yahweh is showing us this, and only Yahweh knows the times and the seasons, right? But there's a really good chance that the next Shemitah we do can be going into the millennium. You know, that we could be heading after the Shemitah into the last 7 years. Maybe one more seven after that. There certainly can't be more than that. But there's a really good chance when you look at the prophecy in Daniel, the Daniel 9 prophecy, and the decree that went out in 1638 by Suleiman I to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And everything seems to point to the years of 2028 to 2030. You know, so, wow, we need to be patient here. And we really need to embrace now, because what does that mean? That means that with only two Shemitahs then maybe left before the Jubilee, that means these Shemitahs are going to be really big times of spiritual growth and outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit. That's what the end time says. This is what this message is all about. And if you want to be part of it, then you got to get involved. You got to get off the sideline. You have to make this your life vocation. You have to be every day dedicated to it. Because Yahweh is not going to give you this great gift and this great job and this great position as a king and a priest eternally if you're not putting any effort at all into it. So we have to make sure that we're being patient, but we have to also make sure that our priorities are right and we are working for the kingdom of Yahweh every single day. Because Yahweh's judgment's coming one way or the other. And you, when the judgment comes, you're going to see what side you're on of it. And you want to make sure by the things you're doing now that you're not on the wrong side of his judgment. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 8. It says, and you shall keep all the commandments which I am commanding you today, so that you shall be strong and shall go in and possess the land to which you are crossing over to possess it, right? So like I said, the wilderness is just the last stop. You know, it's the last stop in the till the kingdom, but the kingdom is the last stop, the kingdom of Yahweh, the land of Israel. That is our inheritance, not the wilderness. So the wilderness is there to prepare us for the kingdom of Yahweh and prepare us for eternal inheritance in the land of Israel. But you're not going to get to the land of Israel if you don't go through the wilderness. And so that you may prolong your days in the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers, and to give to them and to their seed a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land to which you are going to possess it is not like the land of Egypt where you came from, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. But the land which you are entering to possess is a land of hills and valleys, drinking water from the rains of heaven, right? The latter rain coming down. A land which Yahweh your Elohim cares for the eyes of Yahweh your Elohim are on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Equinox to equinox, right? Yahweh works in the circular. He doesn't work in the linear. When his kingdom comes, it will be forever and ever. And the way he set time and set the year is from equinox to equinox. And it shall be, if listening, you will listen to my commands, which I have commanded you today, to love Yahweh your Elohim, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give the rain of your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in the grain, the new wine, and the oil, like we talked about, right? The three things of the Sukkot harvest, because the Sukkot pictures the millennium, the grain pictures bread, sustenance of life, the oil pictures Yahweh's spirit and healing, and the wine pictures complete blessing of Yahweh and happiness. Wow, so that's what he says. And the latter rain is coming, it's prophesied. The only thing is, will you be part of it? So it's definitely coming, it's already here, we're already experiencing. The key is, will you be part of that latter rain? He says, and I will give grass in the fields for your livestock, and you will eat and be satisfied. Take heed to yourself that your heart not be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other Elohim and bow down to them. And the anger of Yahweh blow against you, and he shut up the heavens, and there be no rain, and the ground not give her increase, and you perish quickly from off the good land which Yahweh has given to you. And you shall lay these words up to your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign where? On your hand. And they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. Right? So, Yahweh doesn't want that dumb phone in your hand 24 hours a day looking, and that's what your focus is, because whatever you focus it on becomes most real to you. Yahweh wants his word in your hand and in your mind. That's what Yahweh wants. That's what should be your focus. That's what you should be loving to read every day, because these are the words of life. The words of life are not on smartphones or Yahoo or all these other things, you know, and certainly not on Facebook and social media. But Yahweh says he'll bind them for a sign in your hand and be for frontlets between your eyes, where Satan's mark, right, is a mark in the hands and the eyes, because the hands is what you do and the mind is how you think. And you shall teach them to your sons by speaking to them as you sit in the house and as you walk in the way and as you lie down and as you rise up. They should always be in our mouth all day long, from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. And you shall write them on the side posts of your house and on your gates, the mezuzah, that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied in the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers to give to them as the days of the heavens over the earth. Wow. So we see the latter rain is a blessing for obedience, and the inheritance is the promised land. But you have to make sure you got the mark of Yahweh and not the mark of Satan. You have to, little by little, like I said, and if you've been addicted to these things and you're addicted to all of these worldly gadgets and internet and all, you got to do it. If you could do it cold turkey, it's the best way to do it. Just like smokers say that, to quit smoking, just get rid of it. But if you can't, you got to be doing it day by day, little by little, and quickly. Because redemption is coming, and that redemption is coming not only on Israel, you know, meaningly the Israelites, not only on the tribe of Ephraim, but also on the tribe of Judah. Judah will be a part of that, at least a remnant. We know 2/3 of the people living in Israel are going to die in the war. 1/3 will come through it, but there will be a remnant that comes from our brother Judah. And we see this in Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. I'll read verse 1 through 7 and then verse 11. He says, come and let us return to Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has struck us and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will bring us to life. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live before him. Right? Just like Yeshua was 3 days and three nights in the grave, and then he was raised up at the resurrection. After his resurrection now, a day to Yahweh is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. We've had 2,000 years, two millenniums, since Yeshua's resurrection, and now we're getting ready to go into the seventh millennium, right? The third millennium since Yeshua's resurrection, but the seventh millennium, which is the millennium that Yeshua is coming to reign for, to bring the kingdom of Yahweh. So he says, you know, after 2 days he will bring us to life, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Then we will know, we who follow on to know Yahweh, His going forth is established as the dawn. He shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain to the earth, right? So here it is again. If you're not part of that latter rain, you're not going to be part of this group that's going to be reigning with Yeshua when he returns. And who is it? O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your goodness is like a morning cloud, and it goes away like the early dew, right? So we see the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. And remember, Judah is part of that. Judah is part of that 144,000. So I have honed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And your judgments have been as the light that goes forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. They have acted like traitors against me there. So we see that's the world today, right? There is a remnant. Yahweh always has a remnant. But the majority of the world, and unfortunately including the nation of Israel, has rejected Yahweh. They have rejected him. But again, look in verse 11. Also, O Judah, a harvest. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed to you when I return the captivity of my people. So again, it'll be from the tribes of Ephraim, the northern tribes, and also from the tribe of Judah that this will come from. So redemption comes, but after the punishment. First, the punishment of Yahweh is coming on the earth. It's going to come on Babylon. It's going to come on the nation of Israel, right? And we see now that Russia and Israel are having problems due to the war. There's some heavy friction that's going on there. We see that Israel is threatening to attack Iran, as Iran is this close to having a nuclear bomb, which I think they've already had it for a long time. And who knows, Israel is getting ready to attack them, thinking they're going to stop them from getting it. But they have several different places. They have these bombs hidden, and maybe even one or two Israel doesn't even know about. And if they hit Iran too hard, what may happen, Iran may come back and hit Israel with a nuclear bomb. So we're living in these times where these prophecies are jumping off the pages, you know, and seeing all these things come about as we're saying it. But redemption does come after punishment, which the punishment we're seeing is getting ready to happen. World war. World war can happen at any time, but in the hands of Yahweh, he knows the times and the seasons, and it might happen going into the Shemitah or during the Shemitah, it may not. You really can't predict it because it's up to Yahweh. But if you could predict it by what you're seeing on the ground, wow. Look at what Russia's saying, and now they have this new missile, this Satan II missile that, you know, is supersonic, that can travel in like 5 minutes, like 8,000 miles and hit any part of USA. And they're threatening to use it on the USA as the American government is not backing down but giving more and more weapons to Ukraine. So who knows where this is going, but Yahweh, but we need to be ready for it, right? And that's why Yahweh is pouring out his spirit, because so that we're not deceived by these things happening in the world, and we're not deceived by COVID and the fake vaccine and all these other things. Amos 4 and verse 7. Book of Amos, chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "And I have also withheld the rain from you when it was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused rain to fall on one city and caused it not to rain on another city. One piece was rained on, and the piece where it did not rain on was dried up. So two or three cities staggered to the one city in order to drink the water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh." Right? So with the latter rain, you can't get it from somebody else. You can't say, "Hey, I hear over here this kibbutz or this congregation is having all these miracles. I'm just going to go and join them and I'll get the miracles." It doesn't work that way. And you know what? If you are not seeing the outpouring of Yahweh and his spirit in your life, then you really have to ask yourself, first of all, have you asked for it? You know, because the people that will say they haven't seen it. Is it really happening? No, it's really happening. I can guarantee that. I can guarantee you 1,000%, yes, it's really happening. After 7 years of seeing this, and every year get more intense, yes, it's happening. Why maybe aren't some seeing it? First of all, maybe you haven't asked. Are you praying every day to Yahweh and asking him to pour his spirit out on you? And the other thing is, maybe your life is too worldly. Are you putting Yahweh first in your life? Is Yahweh first? You know, one of the classes we do at the Bible school is, you know, Are you a slave or are you a master? Because if you're a disciple of Yeshua, then you're not a master. He is the master. We are the slaves. And are you living your life? Is your life being lived as a slave or is it being lived as a master? You know, in the same time, in the Laodicean era, where Babylon has come to all the earth, people are living as masters, even children. It's amazing to see children 4 and 5 years old with these phones, you know, and all video games and on the internet all day long. It's absolutely appalling. 4, 5, 6, 7 years old that this is happening. So you have to ask yourself, is your life conducive to Yahweh pouring His Spirit out? Like I said, in order to get the gifts of the Spirit, you need the fruit of the Spirit first. So if you don't have those 9 fruits of Galatian in your life, you're not going to get any gifts from Yahweh. The gift is the extension of the fruit, right? The same way that dumb phone is the extension of your hand. And if that's the thing that's in your life every day, then the fruit of Yahweh is not in your life. You want to have the fruit of Yahweh in your life, and that fruit will bring its gifts. And because Yahweh is not a respecter of persons, and everybody should be feeling this to one degree or another now, as Yahweh's Spirit is being poured out. So if we want to see and be part of this latter rain, you have to be mature in your life. You got to be growing in maturity. You have to show discipline in your life. You know, you have to be reading your Bible daily. This has got to be your life. This is not just something that we do. It's not a religion. It's our vocation. Not vacation, but vocation. You know, and it should be. It's our vocation and vacation because we don't take vacations. So when we take a vacation, it's our vocation. But that's what it needs to be. It needs to be every day in your life if you want to be part of it. And you know, last Shemitah, when I was giving the first sermon on the Shemitah, and I didn't have it in my notes, but I said some people who don't embrace this may not be with us next year. And little did I know how prophetic those words were going to be. And literally, not a lot of people, but some people fell away because of the Shemitah, because they were not embracing that this is so much more. You know, Yahweh uses the physical to bring us to the spiritual. And that's why if you look at every holy day, right, it's about something physical, taking leaven out of your lives. You know, the two breads at Shavuot, you know, and then Sukkot, building a sukkah at Sukkot and blowing a trumpet on Yom Teruah. So there are physical things, but all these physical things only lead us to the spiritual, you know. That's what it is. The physical leads us to the spiritual because we're physical people. And if you don't embrace the Shemitah, because it's a lot more than not planting and not growing and not buying foods at the supermarket that have been planted or harvested during Shemitah, it's about a spiritual harvest. And I'm telling you right now, the Shemitah that is coming can be the greatest spiritual harvest you ever had in your whole life. The last Shemitah, and I can't believe it's 7 years, it was the greatest year of our life. And yet we were just starting. We didn't even know about it. We didn't even know how to do it until the Shemitah was just starting. So Yahweh had to guide us, just like He guided the Israelites with the manna in the wilderness. And we needed a lot of manna 7 years ago because we didn't prepare. But now, if we didn't prepare this year, then what we're showing Yahweh is we don't believe Him. And now, like I'm telling the brethren, don't just prepare for 1 year. Prepare for 7 years if you really believe Yahweh. And you know what? It might not even be for you. It's not that we're preparing to save ourselves through flesh. No, we're preparing because we believe the word of Yahweh. And you know what? That things you're preparing, you might be fleeing, and that might be there for somebody else who's coming to faith late in the game, and now that stuff is going to be prepared and ready for them. So, you know, it's not about saving your flesh, but it's about using the flesh to save the spirit. Because Yahweh uses fleshly things. Like I said, as examples, just like taking leaven out of our life. Because if you don't take the physical leaven out of your life, you'll never take the spiritual leaven out of your life either. Matthew 3, but I said that, like I said, I said it last time, and this time it's even going to be more. We are in the days where Yeshua is already separating the wheat from the chaff. Matthew 3 and verse 8 says, therefore bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. You want to see the latter rain in your life? Bring forth fruits of repentance. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It should be a thing that's ongoing every day of our life. And do not suppose to say within yourself, we have a father Abraham. For I say to you that Yahweh is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. But already the axe is even laid at the root of the trees. Therefore any tree not bringing forth good fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water to repentance, but he who is coming after me, Yeshua, is stronger than me, of whom I am not worthy to remove the sandals. He will baptize you in the Ruach HaKodesh and fire. Right? He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire, whose winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will cleanse his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the storehouse, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Right? His winnowing fork is in his hand, because that's the thing you pick up, and the chaff gets blown away because there's nothing, there's no maturity to it, there's no weight there. So the chaff is blown away, and the wheat, the grain is heavy. The grain has substance to it. The grain stays. And that's what Yeshua is coming to do. He's separating now the wheat from the chaff. And this could be your last chance. You know, look at the Shemitah as a last chance to get your life set, to get your life on track, and to be part of the kingdom of Yahweh. Matthew 13 and verse 24. Matthew 13 is such an awesome chapter all about the kingdom of Yahweh. But this parable in particularly, look what it says. Matthew 13 and verse 24. He put before them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man sowing good seed in his fields. But while the men were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. Right? Wow. That's what we're seeing today. And the interesting part is you can't tell the difference between the tare and the wheat until they come to fruition. Why? Because the wheat is going to have grain in it and the tare has nothing. It's an empty shell. And when the blade sprouted and produced fruit, then the tare also appeared. And coming near, the slaves of the housemaster said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then where does it have the tares? And he said to him, a man, an enemy, did this. The devil, as we're going to see. And the slave said to him, do you desire then that going out we should gather together? But he said, no, lest gathering the tares you should uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granary. So we could figure this out, I think, on our own through the Ruach of what this means, but we don't even have to do that. If we go down now to verse 36, Yeshua is going to tell us exactly what this means. Then sending away the crowds, Yeshua came into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. And answering, he said to him, the one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man, right? And what is the seed? The seed is the word of Yahweh. That's what it tells us in Mark 4. The seed is the word of Yahweh. That's the good seed. That's Yeshua. That's the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the evil one. The tares are the sons of Satan. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. You don't have to imagine anything, right? He's telling us exactly what it is. And the harvest is the end of the age. Here we are. And the cherubs are the reapers. Then as the tares are gathered and consumed in the fire, so it will be in the completion of this age. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and all those practicing lawlessness. Right? So are you a stumbling block? Are your words edifying? Are your words uplifting? Or are your words condemning? Are you a stumbling block? Or are you, you know, you also have blocks that are building blocks. Building blocks help people to be lifted up, to help them get up. Are you a stumbling block or a building block? And this is what you have to ask yourself, right? Could be a good sermon to do. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, right? The tares. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The ones having ears to hear, let him hear. And I use that a lot recently because there are some that don't have ears to hear. They're blinded because their life isn't showing the fruits of Yahweh's Spirit. And there are others that have ears to hear and they're seeing it and they're growing in leaps and bounds. But it's very clear here that some among us are tares among wheat. And now it's harvest time. Now it's the time that Yeshua is going to separate. And I believe that this Shemitah coming is going to be a major part of that. Because Yahweh, to take his people to the wilderness, the tares aren't going to come to the wilderness. Yahweh says it in Ezekiel 20, verse 34, that he will separate. 34 and 35, he says he will separate the rebels from among his people. And his people are either in the wilderness already or they're on their way to the wilderness. But boy, if you don't get your life in order and you don't get your spiritual priorities in order, you're not going to be there. You have to stop being like the Laodicean. You have to stop thinking simply because you believe in the Bible that you're rich and increased with goods in need of nothing, when even the demons believe, right? But it's not about belief, it's about action. Because if you have faith, not just believe, but you have faith, then that faith is going to cause you to do something. And you will have fruits for the kingdom, and the fruits are going to be the things that is going to bear the, you know, your heavenly reward forever. Zechariah 10 and verse 1 says, "Ask rain from Yahweh in the time of the latter rain. Yahweh shall make thunderbolts, and he gives them showers of rain, grass to each man in the field." You have to ask for rain. You have to ask for rain. You know, it's interesting that what usually comes after rain comes? A rainbow, right? And it was amazing this year when we got to the wilderness, you know, that with no rain, there was no rain whatsoever, and yet there was a rainbow. The first day that we were there was amazing, that we saw the rainbow there. So you got to ask Yahweh, because even without rain, he could bring rainbows. And you have to ask him, right? Ask for rain in the time of the latter rain. Don't just ask for rain. Ask for downpours. Ask for deluges. You know, ask for tsunamis. You got to be asking him if you want to receive it. That's what Yeshua said. Asking, you will receive. Are you asking? And that could be the simple answer on why maybe you're not seeing the power of the Ruach in your life right now, because you simply haven't asked. You have to ask. Verse 6 of Zechariah 10. "And I will make stronger the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph," right? Both houses. "And I will return to save them, for I will have pity on them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am Yahweh their Elohim, and I will answer them. And Ephraim will be like a mighty one, and their heart will be glad as by wine," right? The fulfillment of Yahweh's blessing on them. "And their sons shall see and be glad, and their heart shall rejoice in Yahweh. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall be many as they were many. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. And they shall live with their sons and return." And verse 12, "And I will make them strong in Yahweh, and they will walk in his name," says Yahweh. Wow. So where is salvation in the end? Salvation is in Mount Zion. Where? In the name of Yahweh. That's where salvation is in the end time. And that's why Yahweh has restored his family name. And that's why Satan wants to hide that name from you. And that's why he's conned and tricked people into believing all these crazy other names. Jehovah, which is impossible in Hebrew to have. And Yahuwah and all these other names. And some names that you can't even pronounce. One guy sent a name that he was using for Yahweh. It had like 26 letters in it. You know. But here it is. That salvation is in the name of Yahweh. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. And this is the Apostle Paul, right? And look what he says. He says, "For if I desire to boast, I will not be foolish, for I speak the truth. But I spare, lest anyone reckons me to be beyond what he sees me or hears anything of me. And by the superabundance of the revelations, that I not be made arrogant, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, that he might buffet me, that I might not be made haughty. Beyond this, I entreated our master three times that it depart from me," right? Three, the number of resurrection. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will rather gladly boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Messiah may rest upon me. Because of this, I am pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in dire needs, in persecutions, in distress, for the sake of Messiah. For when I am physically weak, then I am spiritually strong." And like I said, the physical leads us to the spiritual. Humility in our life, you know. And I say this right off the bat. How easily are you offended is how much pride you have in your life. Because all those who love thy commandments, Psalm 119, in Psalm 165, nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. So how easily are you offended is how much pride you have in your life. Because offense only comes by pride. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying that when Yahweh brings these challenges into our life, right, it's to bring us, to make us humble so that His Spirit can work more in our life. Because if you have pride in your life, forget it. That's another reason you might not be seeing the rock working in your life. You will never see it if you're filled with pride. You have to get humility in your life, and the challenges we go through help to bring a spirit of thankfulness, and it's needed for the second outpouring of the rock. You have to live in a constant cycle of thankfulness. You have to be thankful every day and every hour and every minute and every second of your life for all the things. And if you think about it, I have many messages on thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful for, so much. It is a smack in the face of Yahweh for us not to be thankful every day for all the things. Just with COVID, what went on now. The fact that most of the world is deceived, and I look and I say, and I'm not deceived. And I didn't go out and take that false vaccine, you know. And I didn't take the thing that's going to change my DNA and all the other stuff. Just knowing that truth is worth more than gold and silver. So we need to be living in a state of thankfulness. Psalm 135, 1 through 7. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Yahweh. Give praise, servants of Yahweh. Those who stand in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of the house of our Elohim, praise Yahweh, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is delightful. For Yah has chosen Jacob to Himself, Israel for His special treasure. For I know that Yahweh is great, and our Adonai is above all Elohim. Everything which Yahweh has pleased to do, He did, in the heavens, and in the earth, and in the seas, and in deep places. He causes the mists to rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of His storehouses. Verse 13, O Yahweh, Your name endures forever. O Yahweh, Your memorial is from generation to generation, like Exodus 3:15 says. Verse 19, Bless Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Israel. Bless Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Aaron. Bless Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Levi. You who fear Yahweh, bless Aleph Tav Yahweh. Blessed be Yahweh out of Mount Zion, He who dwells at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Wow. So we must live in a perpetual state of thanksgiving each and every day of our life for the things Yahweh has given us. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will thank You with my whole heart. I will sing praise to You before the Elohim. I will worship toward Your holy sanctuary and give thanks to Your name. For Your mercy and Your truth, for You have magnified Your word above all Your name. You answered me in the day that I called out. You made me bold in my soul with strength. All the kings of the earth shall thank You, O Yahweh, because they have heard the words of Your mouth. Yes, they shall sing in the ways of Yahweh, for the glory of Yahweh is great. Though Yahweh is exalted, yet He looks upon the lowly, but the proud He knows from afar. If I walk in the midst of distress, You give me life. You send out Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand delivers me. Yahweh will perfect His work in me, O Yahweh. Your mercy endures forever. You will not forsake the works of Your hand. Wow. So we need to be reading the Psalms. And that's why recently, you know, we redid the old Church of God hymnal to make it, you know, with the right names, the sacred names. Many of these songs now are just about 100 years old, can you imagine? And they're all from the Psalms. And, you know, I say that we don't only have to use that hymnal, but we should be using the Psalms. The Psalms are Yahweh's praise to Him through His Ruach that teaches us how to praise Him. So not that we can only praise Him through the Psalms, but I think the Psalms should be at least the foundation and the majority of the way that we're praising Him. So we have it online if you'd like to download that hymnal, and you could see it, because praise Yahweh for that. But we have to be grateful for every moment of our existence. Last scripture is Acts 4. Because you want to know something? Since the first congregation in the book of Acts, we see it in Acts 2, and we see it here in Acts 4, we don't see, again, a congregation living in community like they had there. But all things go in circle, like we said. Everything, Yahweh works in the circular. And here we are in the end time now, not one or two, but between now 25 and 30 different communities all over the earth that are all living now in community this way, like I'm going to read here, is another sign, because it can only happen if Yahweh's Spirit is being poured out. Because it's not a miracle for people to live together. It is a miracle for people to live together in harmony and unity through the Ruach and maturity. So Acts 4 and verse 29. Acts 4 and verse 29 says, "And even now, Yahweh, look to see their threats and give to your servants that they may boldly be preaching your word. While you extend your hand for healings and mighty works and signs to be in the name of your Son, the Holy One of Yeshua." We're seeing these things now. "And they having prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and spoke the word of Elohim with boldness. The assembly of those men who were believing but had but one soul and one mind, and no man among them concerning the possessions that he possessed would say that they were his. Rather, everything that they had was in common. And with great power, the apostles were testifying of the resurrection of the Master Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. And there was no man among them who was lacking, for those who had possessed fields and houses would sell them and brought the price of whatever was sold. And he laid them at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to each according as he had need. And Joseph, the one named Barnabas by the apostles, which being translated as son of comfort, a Levite, a Cypriot by race, a field being his, selling it, he brought the proceeds and placed them at the feet of the apostles." So, wow. And here we are almost 2,000 years later, and we're seeing the same thing. We're seeing the same thing that happened there, the first congregation that started living in community, and here at the last congregation, Yahweh inspired. And like I said, not because of COVID, but going back, even the idea starting in 2014 and then getting it together in 2015, right before the last Shemitah, and for 7 years we've been doing it, and here we are, getting close to 30 of them. We have been living in community now for more than 7 years, and like I said, it isn't perfect, but by the Spirit of Yahweh, our congregation has grown in leaps and bounds over the last 7 years. I believe we are ready now to go to a new level of surrender and love toward Yahweh as His kingdom draws closer and closer. And you know, I say before, I believe that when we started these communities 7 years ago, I believe people did it because they wanted to be unified, they wanted to follow judicial order, they believed in my leadership, they believed that that's where Yahweh was leading, and they wanted to be supportive. But talking with brethren now that have been living in these communities for the last 4 or 5 years or longer, now it's different because they see it, because their life has changed, because they're filled more with Yahweh's Ruach. They are so stronger as believers and so more mature as believers and so more convicted as believers and living in unity and echad with Yahweh's brethren. They're happy and convicted, and they see that it works. So let's pray for the Ruach to be poured out as we head into the Shemitah and the most important time in this end time that, you know, the world has ever seen. And as things in the world get worse, we're going to see Yahweh's Spirit working greater within His people. So I just pray that everybody listening is having a blessed Shavuot and a blessed holy day. And just keep praying. Keep praying for Yahweh's Spirit. Yahweh bless. Chag Sameach. Touching your grace in the cloud.